if what you're hearing makes sense, it's probably not God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word / voice. My sheep hear my voice. If what God is saying to you, you can understand it, it's probably not Him. What pleases God is faith. Explain faith to me. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If your idea of God is that as long as you can understand Him, He can be God, then you made the wrong choice of who God is. And you'll never walk in freedom until you can walk as one of His own sheep that hear His voice. Only then, if you'll tune in and make the choice to develop your hearing, can He know you and empower you with promise so that you can follow Him. How many of us are following who we think is Jesus, but it's the other Jesus? Pastor, why you gotta open up like that? Because I've been hearing regularly, you saying, I don't know what in the world He's talking about, but I know it's God. And the challenge that New Life is faced with right now, on behalf of His will in His world, on behalf of His will in relation to His harvest, His mission, this is so important, is that we're talking it, but we're not yet walking it. This is a good news message today, because there's a level of soberness among this group that's gathering. And guess, God bless you for being here, but I know you can feel God's presence. I know it. And we can't explain that, can we? It's hard to put it in a box and give it away. And yet His presence is here. And you know, by the way you've been designed by the one that put you together, that God is speaking to all of us. And there's a soberness that's so valid that needs to happen in all of us so we can become diligent on behalf of Him. And the enemy loses his place, his rule, his dominion in our life, when we become sober and vigilant, passionate, on fire. I mean, the kind of relationship that Jesus is looking for is one that's on fire. He's not looking for a relationship with any of us that has a form, but no power. He wants out of this relationship the evidence of who He is manifested. So we're going to find out today that Jesus loves every one of us. But salvation is not about me. He saves me so that He can fulfill purpose. He saves me from myself and my stinking thinking, so He can have my heart. And when He gets my heart by reason of my choice, yes, Lord, here I am, use me, He is now able as the Son to glorify the Father. The purpose is that the Son glorifies the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, 6,000 years ago, our biological father, Adam, failed the test. He wasn't going to pass it either way. Yeah, he had a choice, but he wasn't going to pass that test because he didn't know God yet. How could he? He had no sin in his life. He never needed grace and mercy. Anybody ever needed grace and mercy? Adam didn't know what grace and mercy was. So without grace and mercy being in the mix, he's not able to know as the son his father. And everyone in this room, we need grace and mercy. So our potential for God to be glorified is exponential. Because all of us has felt less than nothing many times. We have felt less than valued many times. We've all felt as though God didn't see us at times. Because we've entertained all kind of voices that logically sounded right. Man, it's very logical that I shouldn't be worthy of Jesus. And I'm not, but he makes us worthy by grace and mercy and his love for us. But the enemy's so convincing on my failures and my past that he can hold me in prison. Has anybody ever experienced regret from your past? You know, I think we all can stand and stretch both arms out and say, yep. We've all experienced regret from our past. And these are things in our life that block us from being available to the one who loves us. It's not him blocking us. He can do no wrong. Yet the enemy can convince us it's God's fault. And so since we've all experienced regret from our past, has anybody ever had worry of your future? And most of the people going to church today are worried about the future because they're hearing messages about the sky is falling, the apocalypse is about to happen, the Antichrist is on his way, and I mean, they're just hearing all kinds of stuff that does not promote faith. And all that's real because the enemy's real. Darkness is real. Antichrist spirit is real, but that's not the message of good news. You and I were designed to receive the good news of heaven and become a mouthpiece of God's good news. We're to be Christ. Has anybody ever looked for someone in your life to make you happy before? Have you ever entertained the idea that someone needs to change in order for me to have a better day? Maybe you're thinking right now, if so-and-so would change, I'd have a better day today. And all of us roar with a clap on that one. But that's the enemy's ploy, is to keep us full of regret, worry, and expectations and conditions on others. And if he can keep us in that vortex of always feeling regret for the failures of yesterday and worry for the potential sky falling tomorrow and someone is not treating me right today, then I can't receive what I need to receive, which makes me powerful in my true identity to respond on behalf of him and give him glory. And so today, we all can release some things, and you can't receive before you release. You gotta make room. We've been talking about making room for Jesus. This is not another part to that one, but it don't stop, y'all. Every day, we need to make sure the house is clean and He has access to all of the heart that he's given us. Amen. I want to read you a few passages of scripture. Amen. That video kind of stirred some things up, didn't it? Revisiting our covenant with Jesus. It was his covenant to us. He can't fail on his promise. We failed on ours. Anybody ever dropped a ball with Jesus before? Amen. He's never dropped the ball for us. And he stays faithful to his covenant on our behalf. He loves us. And he's asking from us some things, amen, that we don't realize we're actually holding on to, that's blocking him from the intimacy, amen, that he has to have in the relationship. He has to have all of our hearts, y'all. For him to receive his glory, he has to have all of our mind. He has to have every idea, amen, of what we feel like we deserve in this world. He wants all of our soul. He wants to be our dream, our passion. The American dream has no right to compete with him. The idea that I deserve my name up in lights, has no right to compete with him. Of course, I don't deserve my name in lights. That's the last place I want it. But when our heartbeat is for his name to be in the lights, his name to be shouted, his name to be glorified, his name to be vocalized and shouted from the top of the mountains, then we might be releasing some things that need to be released. You know, there's a medical term, peripheral neuropathy is a medical term for a disconnect between the brain and the hands and feet. And when I'm filled with regret, when I'm filled with worry, when I am expecting others to live up to my idea of what they should live up to, there's a disconnect between Jesus, the head, and me as a member of the body. Would that be true? And he can't have access to his members, his body, his bride, as long as I'm entertaining ideas and thoughts and philosophies and opinions apart from his nature, his character, his identity. The body moves into a paralysis state of being. And it's not in rhythm, it's not in balance, it's not flowing with his will. You ever been mad at somebody? It's hard to give them Jesus when you're angry at them. It's hard to say what he's saying about them when you have a personal, right now, opinion of them. Is it possible that God actually is all in on the person you're not all in on? Is it possible that he wants to give the person a hug that you want to give a beating to? Would you call that a disconnect? And potentially, it's revealing who I'm worshiping because he wants me to be judge. The devil wants me to be the judge. And so he wants to find fault with people. And he wants me to know every fault they have. When has Jesus ever told you about someone's fault? When do you find him doing that in the scriptures? Now, he'll call out a spirit. He'll call out a religious spirit that's on people he loves. He'll call out a church-going spirit on people he loves. But he won't find fault with the person because he's already shed all his blood. And he's committed to them. And right now in our world, he needs his body. He needs his body. He needs his bride. He needs every member of that body, every child, every son and daughter at attention. But to do that, we've got to release some things so that we can receive heaven's utterance. The very voice of God wants to pierce the darkness that's in your life. The very voice of God wants to pierce the doubt, the fear, the regret, the anxiety, the lying spirit that causes disease and sickness. He wants his body whole. He wants his body representing him and giving him his glory. Would that be true? I'm going to still try to read that scripture. It says here in Mark 6:45, right after the miracle of the fishes and loaves. And if you haven't read the Bible, there's a story in the Bible that talks about Jesus taking a couple of loaves and some fishes and feeding 5,000, not counting the ladies and the children. Could have been as many as 20,000 people in that attendance. And he fed them with a couple of loaves and some fishes. And after the miracle happens, Jesus says, it says it this way, he insisted, in the King James it says, he constrained. I mean, it's kind of like, feel like he forced the ones that said they were followers into a boat. And they were saying, where are you going? Anybody ever been in a situation God wanting you to do something and you're thinking, well, what you going to be doing while I'm doing that? Lord, you want me to do what? Well, what you going to be doing? Is anybody ready to walk with him on the level that he can trust you when you can't understand? Amen. Would that be a true follower of Christ? And he immediately, after the miracle, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. Now, keep in mind, the people saw them get in the boat, and they saw them leave, and then Jesus encourages them all to go home. Because the people that went around the lake sees Jesus in the boat when he gets out of it the next day. Like, what did you do last night? And after telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills himself to pray. Late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus alone on land. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, well, that 3 o'clock thing keeps coming up, don't it? Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. He intended to go past them. But when they saw him walking on the water, now keep in mind, they just witnessed him feeding 20,000 people potentially with a few fishes and loaves. And I was laughing over there and saying, what'd you laugh about? I said, it's amazing how that they could see that but couldn't believe he could walk on water. And this is what he told me. He said, yeah, and you feel my presence like you do all the time, and you can't believe that I'm going to be right in the middle of your storm during the week. Oh, by the way, he's been coming to every one of your storms, and you can't believe it's him. Every circumstance, every situation, every dark issue that you deal with, he says, I'm right. If you make your bed in hell, I'm with you. But we can feel his presence right now, and then we'll question him being with us. Isn't it amazing how that when we're with one another, it's like, yeah, Jesus will show up when I'm with somebody else because he loves them. He don't love me. And then when I'm in my battle through the week, I feel like I'm alone. He shows up and it's like, that's weird. That's spooky. He intended to go past them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they cried in terror, thinking it was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him, but Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage, I am here. Then he climbed into the boat and the wind stopped. And it says, and they totally amazed. They were totally bewildered. And they still didn't understand the significance of the miracles of the loaves. Did y'all read that? Their hearts were too hard to take it in. Jesus is doing some things in our life, and you have evidence that he's real. This is what he told me to tell everybody. You have evidence he's real because you've seen his fingerprint. And he let you see his fingerprint because he sees a storm coming your way. He sees a challenge. He sees some things that is going to really frustrate you and bring terror into your life. And so he wants to come in the midst of this, your storm, and manifest and show you that he's got it. If you'll let him in the boat, all that'll stop immediately. And how many of us can raise our hand, don't do it, and say, I've been there. And you still didn't get it. And they understood not the meaning of the fishes and loaves. The miracle of the bread. Can I just encourage you for just a second here? He is the bread that came down from heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What is he saying? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. You're not going to understand it, but it is your lifeline. You're not going to be able to reason with it, but it is your salvation. You're not going to be able to put it in a box, but it is your miracle. And it's what makes him Lord in our life. Is this okay? So, why are you holding on to worry? Fretfulness, the idea that anybody can make you happy. When Jesus went and gave every drop of blood just for you. And I can say this, so encourage you, the good news is he knew you was going to be right where you are today, right where you were in the storm, and some of you are in the storm right now, because it takes that for you to get a revelation of who he is and release the regrets and release the worry and release the conditions you put on your relationships around you to live up to your idea of good. Release all that so that you can receive what you need that makes you powerful and makes him God in your life. Amen. One more scripture. He's going to now. John 14 and 12. All right. We release, we receive. Here's what receiving looks like. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. He's speaking. God in flesh is speaking from sonship right now. To those he's calling out of darkness to be sons. I'm going to ask you a question. Why would we do anything in Jesus' name in the first place? Just let that question settle in your spirit for a moment. Why would you do anything in Jesus' name in the first place? Here. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Why? So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. You've got to catch this. If you get the revelation of this, you'll find out who you are. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. This is so important for you. The reason we do what we do in the name of Jesus is not, amen, because we say in the name of Jesus after we get through blessing the food that we prayed over. Or in the name of Jesus, we prayed over somebody to get healing, and we say in the name of Jesus. That's not why you pray for the sick. That's not why you pray blessings on that which you partake of at the dinner table. Your life should be in the name of Jesus. Why? Because it's the Son that brings glory to the Father. Salvation is not about you. Salvation is the mercy of God in our life to choose us to be the vehicle and the house that He operates out of to bring glory to the Father. Salvation takes us out of a false identity into a true identity, which is sons of God. And for a while, we're children because we don't know how to get our thumb out of our mouth. We're children of God, and He loves all of His kids, but the kids are immature. They're always regretting the past. They're always worried about the future. They're always expecting everybody to grow up and please them. That's what children do. They're immature. And so as children of God, we're under tutors and governors, guardians, ministry that encourages us to grow up, shake off the stuff, get filled with the Spirit, and graduate into sons so you can be powerful. This is what He's saying, y'all. And so, you ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commands. But man, your commands, it's like, whoa, man, are you serious, Lord? Listen and follow. Release the worry, the regret, the conditions. He said, and I will ask the Father, He will give you another advocate. Now, this is the Son, God in flesh, speaking as the Son of God to the ones who are going to become just like He is. That they will receive the Spirit that's already in the body He's wearing. Who will never leave you, this Spirit? He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But get this, Jesus is like He's speaking in a parable here now. And so there, if you're not careful, you think, well, there's another spirit, there's another God involved, or there's another person involved. No. Here's what He says, but you know Him because He lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. God speaking out of the Son, saying, oh, it's fixing to get real good because I'm the only Adam that makes it worth your while. The first man, Adam, failed, but the second man, Adam, won it. God came in flesh and paid the debt off so that you and I could be redeemed, Adam, amen, and become His stewards, His sons, in His kingdom, in His garden, tending to His business, amen, glorifying His name. Anybody want to glorify the name of Jesus? Amen. Anytime you feel regret, cast it down. Anytime you feel worry coming on, cast it down. What are we talking about? We're talking about doing real spiritual warfare, ladies and gentlemen. Take every thought, take every imagination, every idea that you entertain in your mind, bring it into captivity. Put it under your feet. And when your obedience is fulfilled, his glory is gained. He loves obedience much more than sacrifice. Amen. Wow, it's 11:13. But Daddy's talking. Reality, ladies and gentlemen, this is the house of God. This is the house of God. And Daddy has promises for his son right here. And his son has been faithful. And the manifestation of his glory is on the way. You're the house of God. And then the old tabernacle plan was a type and shadow of who you are. The outer court had a purpose. The inner court had a purpose. And then the holies of holies, that's what it was about. Receiving the seed of truth. But the outer court on me and you. See, he's already paid the price. And he's standing at the gate of his house and he's knocking on the door. But just like the plan of the enemy is, he wants to take the temple of God and pervert it and dishonor it and defile it, right? That's the goal of the enemy. But we want the enemy out of Daddy's house, don't we? And in order for that to happen, we've got to bring an offering. And so what is the offering that he's looking for? Before I tell you, I'm going to give you a quick illustration I told the Life Changers about. Sterling Pilot, man, he impacted me big time. Thank you, Jesus, for that guardian of my soul. But he told me a story of an old Indian. He was Indian himself. And he told me about an Indian chief that, man, was impacted by the fact that, man, you got something I ain't got, and I want it. And the way Sterling Pilot would tell it, you know, we Indians, we gonna get it. And he said this Indian chief brought his best stuff to God at the altar and laid it down, make a trade with God. And God didn't respond. And after he went through giving him his best, he tells God, he says, all I got's me. And God responded. Amen. There is nothing but you that can be offered that moves the priest, the high priest. Nothing but you. But I'm not worthy. I've messed up my path. See there? You see what I'm talking about? Who's screaming that in your ear? What voice? See, you can really hear spirits. Every time you think about how you're not worthy, you have a spiritual ear. You can hear the devil lying to you. You can hear. Every one of us need a psychiatrist, but it needs me to be Jesus. Is this helping you? And so the high priest, he inspects the offering before you go in. Because if you don't have the right offering, how are you going to meet the requirements of the altar of sacrifice? You can't. It's when you get to the altar of sacrifice, my duty and your duty. Every one of us have a duty. And it's not penance, y'all. It's not being sorry. It's just making an active, passionate decision. I'm going to agree with God, even though I don't understand a word he's saying. I'm going to agree. And by faith, you bring yourself to him And he says, that's what I'm looking for. And with gratitude, you walk through the gates. The house he's already purchased, he already purchased it. He just won't enter without us. Outer court. My world. My life. The way I do things. Outer court. Outer court. Got to take it to the altar of sacrifice and offer it up. Deny myself. Take up my cross and be a living sacrifice and follow him. Isn't it interesting in the outer court that once you get through with the altar of sacrifice of denying yourself, I need somebody to come pet me and burp me, change my diaper. That you go to the brazen laver and you wash your hands. Come on, because every one of us are priests. We wash our hands from everything they were involved in that was anti-Christ. Regret, worry, conditions on our relationships. We left that at the altar of sacrifice. And there's blood on our hands. And we look into that brazen laver and we see a picture of how he sees us. And that's what he wants us to remember. It's only then that we can move into the holy place and begin to participate with the table of showbread, which is Christ. He's the bread that came down from heaven. The candlesticks, he's the light that pierced the darkness and that illuminates my heart and brings me life. He is the incense that operates from us, that becomes a sweet-smelling savor. That's sonship, y'all. That's what sons do. And then we're able to go in and participate with him in the holies of holies at the mercy seat, the very throne of God. We come out of that place with him, we're able to bless the nations and not hold anyone chargeable. We're able to encourage, to edify, to build up, to strengthen. Amen. To be God's mouthpiece, because heaven's utterance has got a hold of us. And all we can say is what we hear him saying. He's got his house now. Because you're the light of the world now. You're the salt of the earth. You are an illustration of who God is. Amen. That sits on the throne. You're his children. You're his sons. You're his daughters. Amen. God's good, isn't he? But there's some things we have to release so that we can receive. And we can all enjoy, amen, being God's responder. We only say what we hear. We only do what we see. Isn't that the way Jesus taught it? And you know the tree by the fruit it bears. Paul addressed a powerful church that was carnal, Corinth. And he says to Corinth in a letter, he says, I want to give you meat, but I can't because you're carnal. And you need milk. You're babies. And babies need milk because they're carnal. They're divisive. They're complaining. They're sucking their thumbs. I mean, they're just drama, and they're into everybody's business. This is what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. But this is what's amazing, y'all. The nine gifts of the Spirit was operating through them. They had a word of prophecy. They had a word of knowledge. They had the gift of healing, tongues and interpretation of tongues. Wow, gift of miracles. I mean, the evidence of God's Spirit was there, but the good fruit wasn't there. God was touching lives, encouraging people, and letting them know, I'm here, but there was no evident good fruit. They were carnal. Have you ever seen that before? I digress. The Lord's talking to you right now about how simple and light it is to receive from Him. And He's letting you know right now that the heaviness that you're dealing with and the frustration and the anxiety and the regret and the worry that keeps warring in your spirit is all self-inflicted because the enemy is so convicting, or not convincing. He's so convincing. And he's very good at manipulating for control. Amen? That ought to make you mad. That ought to just really get you beside yourself to where right now, all that matters is the fact that I get to get up and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. And He will. If you're here today and you know without a shadow of a doubt that heaven's calling you out of darkness into marvelous light, and you haven't repented to change in the way you think, because you still have regret, you still have worry, and you still have conditions on others in your life. If you still have that, you hadn't repented yet, by the way. I've been knowing Jesus for the last 50 years. I've been walking with Jesus for, and you know, you're not walking with Jesus when you're regretting your past. You're not walking with Jesus when you're worried about your future. And if you still think somebody needs to change, make your day better, you're not walking with Jesus. Pastor, why you got to say, hold it. It's going to help you. Jesus has been asking us for the last 2 months here at New Life Fellowship to revisit our covenant with Him. Oh, He has. Oh, He has. So that we can revisit our covenant with our spouse and get it right. But we got to get it right with Him first. Because you're not powerful enough to get that marriage covenant right without Jesus. And we've been playing church a lot. Oh, pastor, don't. But yep. Everybody wants the truth. I haven't met anybody. Don't tell me the truth. I want to deal whatever demons I'm dealing with. I want every bit of the darkness out. I don't want to play church no more. I want to be the church. I don't go to church. I am the church. We want to be the bride of Christ, correct? But He told me this week, He said, y'all talking it, but y'all ain't walking it yet. Yeah, there's a lot of good talk going on, but ain't much of a walk happening yet. And it's not that He's bothered by it, but He's asking us to love Him back, to trust Him and obey. And you can talk the talk and not trust and obey. Let me say it this way to help you. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Jesus said it. I mean, He's speaking it through His apostles as they're writing the letters. Is that true? It would have been better for you not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and turn from it. A person that don't know has a more of his attention than one that just keeps rebelling. That's why He tells the religious group. He says the bad tax collectors and the prostitutes are going to heaven before you do. Jesus said that. Have I been religious before? I don't want to talk about it. Have I measured people up by my idea of the Bible before? I don't want to talk about it, but yeah. Has the Lord had to work the worst kind of darkness out of me because of that? Yeah. Whoremongers, perverted, whatever you equal, murderers have a better chance than a religious-minded person to go into the kingdom of God. Jesus said that. I don't have him figured out, ladies and gentlemen. I need Jesus every moment of every second of every day. And yes, he has me re-evaluating his blood covenant with me. And me and that girl's talking often. And she's doing this because she knows that God's talking. And we're trying to figure out how are we going to do this, revisit the marriage covenant and clean all off the plate that needs to be cleaned off. Because that's the Messiah, the second coming of the Messiah right there. She's going to save everybody. And she knows she's got to stop it. She knows it. But that's better said than done. Because the first time she hears a cry, she going to go run to it. And they might be 15 crying. She going to go them all. You can't even do it, but she's doing it. I know about that too. And some of you know about that. But you know, your relationship, your marriage relationship is not healing until you go back and deal with the promise that he made to you and address the promise you made to him and get on the same page. Because there's a paralysis. There's a signal that's not getting to the member. He says, I will, but who will let me? Yes, thank you for coming. And if you need to go, you're welcome to leave. For the next few little minutes here today, we're going to turn our hearts to heaven. And you're welcome to stay and hang out with us, but you're welcome to leave. And I mean that. Could we all stand? Daddy, here we are. We're talking the talk, but we're at a place right now. We need you to help us and empower us to walk the walk. I know to do good, but I'm not doing it, Daddy. And I'm asking you, help me to put it in gear. Enough is enough. I'm not through with today's message, by the way. He just let me know. He's going to pick it up. And he's going to show us how light and easy this really is. Amen. The prayer team would come with me. I'm going to pray as they're coming up. And if you want to come forward and have us pray with you, we're here to do that. But don't let the dynamics of his presence, it's in the atmosphere and touching your spirit, don't let it go. Let him captivate you before you leave. And when you leave and you get in your vehicle, let him pull you over on the side of the road and do some more. Let him talk to you about having time with him where he can be intimate with you and pour the truth into your life on another level. Father, thank you for meeting with us today like you've done. And we all sense the urgency. It's time to stop playing church. It's time to be the church. It's time to say, yes, Lord. And when you speak, we are already in gear, moving your direction. We're staying in fluid motion with you. We're going to be your hands and your feet. We're going to be your mouthpiece. We're going to be who you designed us to be as your sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord, for helping us finish the repentance, the changing of the how we think about what we think about. Thank you, Lord, for liberating us from the regret, the worry, the relationship breakdowns. Thank you, Father. for coming to your house like you came 2,000 years ago as a rushing mighty wind, as fire sitting upon each one of your children. Oh, change us, Lord. Renew us. Fill us. Consume us, Lord. Can we lift our hands up to Daddy and let him pick us up? Come on, if you're his kid, let Daddy pick you up. He can put you right there in his lap. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you for your love right now. I pray for anyone that will allow me. The prayer team will too. God bless you. Let the Lord just saturate you right now. Be filled with the Spirit.